and have an amazing example of what it looks like to live in a community pursuing you. Thank you for the restoration that you've been doing in my heart, as well as many others in this room, even though restoration usually means threading over and exposing the most ugly, traumatic parts of the past. Please help me to be as vulnerable as possible. You know how much I need you to bring these things to surface. Thanks, Matt. I pray that people in this room encounter you tonight, and that their eyes are open to see and ears are open to hear. Okay, well, if you don't know me, I'm Kayla, and you're gonna, I guess, find out the deepest parts of my soul in the past 21 years. So yeah, when Karen asked me to speak, I didn't really know how I wanted to put it, but I'm gonna put it in the frame of a house, and that the first part is gonna be like a story of surrender and just receiving God, and then the second part is redemption and identity. So when I thought about like what was keeping me from like inviting God in, I think it had to do a lot to do with just like what I had been through growing up. My parents had a really toxic relationship. My mom was like alcoholic and like verbally and physically abusive to like me, my brother, and my dad. So the way that I deal with things is I just like won't deal with them, and like I made them a non-issue, and I was like, oh yeah, like those things don't matter. And the more that I would like make them an issue, a tangible issue, is like it became something I had to deal with. Yeah, and I was thinking with verbal and physical abuse, that's kind of like a vague term. So Karen, like I had these texts from like actually a year ago. I was actually like driving in a car with Jess when I got it, but you guys can like read it just to like get an idea of like what I went through. Yeah, so those were sent after I was actually going into my freshman year, and we had this like family get together, and my mom like came, she was getting into an argument with my brother, and I like tried to walk away because like I'd been in this situation before. I was like, I'm just gonna get away from it. And she like came, she's like, well, why don't we talk about you? What's wrong with you, Kayla? And like came after me and like had me pinned up against the wall, and I like, didn't know what to do, so I just like pushed her off of me, and then she like legit like came after me, and like me and my brother like slept outside in Tahoe that night. And I think that's why like we're so close, is we were kind of like trench buddies, you know. So yeah, like once it would get like worse, after they got a divorce, because it was she couldn't take it out on my dad anymore, she was taking it out on me. And it was like so prevalent that this would happen like every single day, and it would just, my skin was so thick, it would just like roll off me like water. Like it was like, it didn't even affect me. And I think this was my first experience with like Christians, and I was like, okay, that's like what a Christian is. I don't want like anything to do with that, you know? And then eventually, like when I went to Cal Poly, I was introduced to like Christians that really like embody what like that actually means, to like really love on each other and be there for each other and not be judgmental. So that's definitely like, that was the first thing that I had to invite God into, because I don't think I like actually really forgave her until this year, because she like would never ask for forgiveness. The next day she would just come to me and be like, hey, what do you want for breakfast? So I'm like, remember like last night, like I didn't sleep in the house. Like, I don't know, it was just, that was my experience. And I was thinking of like the next room that I think I had to invite God into, and that would definitely be like a gym. Or I guess like a performance treadmill, or like how Skylar put it last week, is like holes. Like I had all these holes that I wasn't dealing with, and like definitely wasn't filling with God. It was like I was filling them with like all these other things. Like things weren't good at home, so like what else can I do? Okay, I'm gonna go to the gym and I'm gonna like play volleyball. And that was, I was investing all of my identity into that, and I'm sure like a lot of that, us can resonate with that. And like also like relationships, both romantic and not. But I don't know, I think I had, luckily, the roles of like being like a starter and like a non-starter, like I kind of played both roles, so I learned to be like a cheerleader and like a player. But I realized very quickly that God put me on my team is not as like to have a successful volleyball testimony, but for me to like love on my teammates. And thank you guys for being here, I mean so much. But yeah, so now like this Jesus thing looks cool. I'm like kind of intrigued, but I'm also like really into the party scene. And the attention that I was getting from these like good looking athletic guys. I was like, oh, that's cool. And then they liked me, like, okay. And then so I got to Berkeley and I started dating someone like with like a relatively high status. And I think like I subconsciously like, and in my head I was like, oh, like we can't go to 7-Eleven without someone like trying to take a picture with him. Like maybe that gives by default some sort of like self-worth. And that was just like so fleeting. And then when that relationship ended so badly, it was like, I was completely floored. Like I didn't know how to handle that situation because I had like invested so much of myself into this really healthy relationship. I think like it took me a while to recover from that. I lost myself in Christ and like rooted my identity in this guy, which was like not a good relationship. And then I think the next room would be the bedroom, like in part because I never had a lock on my door growing up, so like my mom could always like barge in when she wanted and like come after me whenever she wanted. And then I think the second part of like my testimony of surrender is I knew that the Bible like asked us to be abstinent, but I didn't know why. Like when people, I would like try to get counsel about it and I would be like, okay, well why? Like I'm only hurting myself if I'm hurting anyone. And I was kind of like, okay, well, no, like you guys are kind of old school. Like I'm more contemporary with my faith, you know? And I don't know, I was frustrated because I never had the relationship with God that I really wanted. And I knew it was like this thing that I was investing my identity into that he wanted me to give up. It's like I would catch myself saying, I'm in a constant struggle between being a freak and wanting to surrender my whole life to Jesus. And I wrote that out like literally in a text and I was like, I can't like fully pursue my identity in like two things. Like I'm either all in or I'm like, no. And then when I think about it, like this thing that I thought like I invested my identity into has really brought me like nothing but pain. Like it's made, it's created like this false sense of intimacy with like relationships that weren't healthy and like kind of prolonged them months longer than they should have. It could have saved us both like a lot of pain. And then also I have one experience, which like unfortunately happens to too many girls, but like where like someone wasn't invited into my part of my life and like barged in and it was someone I was friends with and like I felt some sort of responsibility because I was like flirting with him, but like by no means did I sign up for that. And I don't know, it was like because I didn't want to talk about it as sexual assault because then I had to like deal with it as sexual assault and like God forbid the R word. Yeah, like there are details that I'm like leaving out, but if like I'm sure it's reached a lot of people in this room, unfortunately, and like if you want to reach out to me, feel free to. But yeah, like this thing that I think like I didn't want to give up is actually like caused me the most pain, like literally in my life. Like if I think about it, like it's been the root of a lot of pain. So that's like the process of like me surrendering that because now I have. And then in this room, I think was like a closet. And also like a liquor cabinet. So that like in this closet is like a safe. And I think it's like the accumulation of brokenness that I've had my whole life by not dealing with it. It's like I would suppress it because I like loved being everyone's like laboratory achiever. Like I loved bringing people happiness. And like it got to a point where this semester, it was like I'd found out that the reason why my mom is the way she is because of like her past and like dealing with my grandpa and like figuring that out. And like I learned a lot of stuff that I wish I didn't. And then my cousin tried to commit suicide. Luckily, it was unsuccessful before the semester had even started. And then my mentor, like since I've been at Cal, like probably a lot of you guys know Mo, but like he got charged with sexual assault, and he was like one of the only people that I trusted with like that information of like me being sexually assaulted. So for like that to come out, that like really affected me because he was giving me like advice on this, and then 9 years ago, he had done the same thing to someone else. And then I think the liquor cabinet, because I did the same thing as I always do, and then like someone I really trusted broke my trust, and I was like, literally domino effect, like what else could go wrong? And I just suppressed it again and made it a non-issue because I didn't want to deal with it as an issue, and like I resorted to like partying and like things like that. And then when I got too drunk, like the issues I wasn't dealing with like came out and like made me someone that I wasn't, and I wasn't acting like a Labrador Retriever, I was acting more like a pit bull. And I don't know, it was just like each time I tried to put my identity in something and was unfulfilled and like shut the door of my house on him, he was just like waiting there like, Kayla, will you let me restore you now? Like, are you done running yet? And I think You can flip to the image of, yeah. So I really like this image because I feel like it's just kind of like articulates better what I've been talking about, because he just wanted to like restore the brokenness that I've been through. And then I also really love the song that Maddie sang in the beginning, because it's like one of the verses is, "No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me." It's like, we can have as many rooms as we want, we can try to fill our holes with everything else, we can keep running away as fast as we can, and we will still be pursuing our hearts all the way. And it's not a matter of like what we've done or what's been done to us, it's just like receiving what Jesus has done for us and inviting him like into the broken places of our lives so he can restore them into something beautiful. And I was thinking of a verse that I like really love, and it's this one. "For whoever would save his life shall lose it, whoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it." And I think like as I was surrendering or like losing my old identities, like things I was idolizing, I was like those things like broke me like down, like wore me down. And I was like, now I'm in the process of like restoration and gaining my true identity that only wants to restore me. And we were at Reality on Sunday, and like this really spoke to me. And the best, most redeeming, exciting thing I can imagine from the smashed up, broken places I've been is that something beautiful could blossom out of the wreckage. This is what I know. God can make something beautiful out of anything, out of darkness and trash and broken bones. He can shine light into even the blackest night, and he leaves glimpses of hope all around us. And it's like, God is constantly at work until he gets every part of our story. He's not like, oh, that part is like really broken, like you can, I don't know, do that, but like this part I'll keep. It's like the places where you have your biggest challenges is where you have the most to give. And there's so much power in weakness. And so I think I would just like invite everyone, because it took like 4 years of me actually becoming a Christian to like surrender my life to God, and just like, what broken pieces is God asking you to hand over so he can restore? So, yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna pray, but before I do that, I would like to